He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday, the midweek, the Fed Decision Day version of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. I could do the math probably. I've been through at least 250 something like that Fed days where they announced their decision. And of course, these ones recently have had more attention paid to them than normally because of the situation with inflation that we find ourselves in. But we will get the decision here later today, and we are expecting a no decision. Well, a decision to leave things alone. The market is optimistic. You got crude oil backing down a little bit. The Dow's up 140 to 34,658. The NASDAQ is up 19 to 13,697. The S&P is up 12 to 4,456. Small caps doing best of all. That means interest rates must be falling some. The small caps are up 90 basis points. Crude oil's down 21 cents after hitting resistance at 92 yesterday. It's down to 91 today. And the all-important 10-year, which hit a 17-year high yesterday, is down 4 basis points to 4.32. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst, and we both will wait with bated breath until 2:30 p.m. I think it's around 2:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, we'll get the decision, the likely no decision, I guess, right at 2 Eastern.
And that's then, of course, right. 2 o'clock.
The old press conference at 2:30. So that's where you'll really start to see things move. And this is one of those interesting Fed meetings where we get the economic projections, we get the dot plot, and then and some other things. And my guess is that the dot plot, and of course what Powell says, will even be more important than the actual rate decision at 2 o'clock today.
Yes, absolutely. So 2 o'clock today, and then 2:30 the announcement, and then the market usually trades all over the place in that last hour and a half of trading. Not really a good day to take any positions one way or another before 2 o'clock. You think they're going to come out with some dovish talk here today. Well, the big news yesterday, when I looked at that 10-year yesterday at 4.36%, I said, wait a minute. When's the last time the 10-year Treasury has hit 4.36%? So I pulled up my stock charts. I went back 5 years. No, you got to go back further than that. I went back 10 years. No, I still didn't see anything. I went back 15 years. I had to go back 20 years to find the last print at 4.36%. That was in November of 2007. And, of course, that was a year that led up to the big sell-off in the S&P 500 in 2007. 2008, 2009 to the tune of 53%. Now, I'm not saying there's any correlation there between where the interest rate hit yesterday, but that just shows you the magnitude of the 10-year Treasury at 4.36 yesterday. Now, it's backing off today. We're at 4.32. Hopefully, we've seen the top. But the Fed's also got to be a little bit worried about interest rates. You had housing starts fall off the cliff. You're starting to see the lower-end consumer really getting hurt. There was a report yesterday about some of the small cosmetics companies like Sally Beauty, Elf Beauty being hurt by the lower income, the lower end of the consumer. And today Dollar General is saying the same thing, that they're being squeezed from a lot of angles right now. So we'll talk about that in a moment. The 2 year
and one of the newer squeezes obviously is gas prices, as you've been hitting on oil. So.
Well, and the 2 year hit 5.07%. I'd have to go back and look with the last time we hit 5.07%. And let's not forget, with $33 trillion in debt, do the math. I mean, we're now paying 4.36% on new debt issued. Of course, we've still got a lot of debt at the old, you know, lower rates than that. But still, I mean, that's going forward. That has become, I believe, the biggest line item in our annual budget will be interest payments. So, anyways, yesterday,
you would imagine, my calculator won't even do 4% of $33 trillion.
No,
I got to get an Excel sheet for that.
You need a billboard with that. All those digits, like the national debt. There's one in Las Vegas, I think. So, anyways, but I do think that oil prices have hit an inflection point. I saw one oil executive calling for $100 Brent crude before the end of the year, and he also said that that could become the new normal. I also saw J.P. Morgan saying they see $85 per barrel towards the end of the year. I like J.P. Morgan's estimate a little bit more. I don't see the robust economy supporting the current oil price, nor do I see the oil stocks really behaving like they think oil is going to go higher. So anyways, I mean, and I made a big point last week how the two most important indicators to watch this week would be oil prices and interest rates. And I called for both of them to kind of peak this week. Maybe they did that Monday and Tuesday, and then to start pulling back and for the market to start making some constructive advance again. We'll see how my prediction goes the rest of this week and next week. We did have a big IPO yesterday. Instacart got out of the gate pretty quickly. It has been added to my Best Stocks Now app. It's actually called Maple Bear, all right? Maple Bear is the name of Instacart. Instacart came public at 33. It shot up to over 50, I think, and now it's back to 32, somewhere in there. But we'll just call it a successful debut for Instacart, which follows on the heels of Arm Holdings earlier in the week. And we've got another one that will take place today, but Instacart was the big one yesterday. That's been a long-awaited IPO. Okay, the chairman press conference, 2:30. We get petroleum inventories here while we're doing the show. That's been watched lately because the petroleum inventories have been getting squeezed lately. Supply has been constrained. Yes. And but J.P. Morgan, again, they see oil at $86 by the end of the year. It did hit 92. That's kind of the high, 92. Yesterday. Now, I also read that it's a single oil trader that is sparking a price run-up for U.S. physical crude. This is Bloomberg reporting that the big French oil and gas producer Total Energies has been bidding up the U.S. physical crude market. It jumped to its highest premium since November, in addition to future prices surging above $90 a barrel. Overseas buyers pay an additional $1 to $2 per barrel to get the crude shipped to the Gulf Coast for exports. At such elevated levels, U.S. crude is quickly becoming too expensive for buyers from Asia to Europe who have relied on the U.S. to plug the global oil shortfall led by OPEC Plus cuts, according to the report. So anyways, Total Energy paying up for West Texas Intermediate crude is a reflection that high refining margins are driving competition for U.S. oil as global supplies have tightened. Let's see. Okay, and again, I mean, what, 98% of the analysts think no change in interest rates today. And the next meeting, they're at 64% of no change, something like that. We'll see where we're at tomorrow at this time.
It'll be interesting to see. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where those numbers go after after the Fed speak, because we've got 99% of no change today, and then of course for next week. For next meeting, I think it was 70% at the moment. So.
Okay. Now, when we come back, you're not going to believe where German PPI comes in at. The producer price index in Germany. Wow. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, Germany's producer price index has fallen again to 12.6% in August. And, of course, you know, if you take out energy, there's where Germany's problem is. And, you know, you've identified it, Barry. It's France has a lot of nuclear energy. Germany basically went all in, made a deal with the devil with the Russian pipeline, which no longer delivers anything to them. So they face tremendous still inflation, particularly in the PPI. If you take out the energy out of their producer price index, it goes down to just 1.2%.
But instead, isn't that amazing?
It's just incredible, 12.6%. I gotta believe that electric car sales in Germany, of course, the home of Mercedes-Benz and Porsche and BMW and the like, I gotta believe that electric car sales are, even though the cost of electricity, I'm sure, is also pretty high there. The UK inflation rate is also running hotter than the rest of the, as bad of an energy problem as Germany does, but they have a bad one. UK's inflation, 6.7% still, 6.7. We're running, what, at 5.3, something like that?
And oddly enough, it came in lower than expected at 6.8, and I believe the UK actually has a rate decision tomorrow. And so it was almost a given that they were going to raise at that meeting, and with even with the 6.7 coming out, I think that they might actually feel that they're feeling good about themselves.
Yeah,
they may actually pause.
Yeah. The Bank of England tomorrow. Okay, there's another IPO coming out today, Klaviyo, which is a pretty highly anticipated one again. I'm not quite sure what they do. We'll watch it. I'll get some information on it today. There's a couple of guys on Seeking Alpha that pretty much specialize in new IPOs. I'll read that. But that's going to be a pretty big one. They ready a $500 million IPO today. So this is like the third one in 3 days. It's going to come in about $30 per share. Well, if you're looking for a job, Amazon goes on a hiring blitz. I guess they're hiring mostly Bed Bath & Beyond workers, right? Some of these bricks and mortar people that are not working anymore. They bump up their warehouse wages ahead of holiday season. They're going to hire 250,000 people in full-time and part-time and seasonal fulfillment centers. The e-commerce giant is also planning to invest $1.3 billion this year toward pay increases. The average pay for those roles, customer fulfillment and transportation employees, are now $20.50 per hour. Those wages represent more than a 50% increase over the last 5 years. Some locations will see the customer fulfillment and transportation employees position to be offered as much as $28. $28 per hour. No wonder the United Auto Workers are on strike, huh? They're sitting there watching these factory fulfillment folks and how much they're making versus what they're making for being on the assembly line. What does the work include? Stowing, picking, packing, sorting, shipping, and more are available in hundreds of cities and towns across America. It can turn into a long-term career inside or outside the company. And in some locations, they're offering signing bonuses between $1,000 and $3,000. So anyways, from Amazon, the e-commerce giant. Now, never mind how many jobs have been lost because of Amazon, but they're hiring a lot of people to go to work for them. Elon Musk backed Neuralink to start human trials. Okay, you know, Elon's got a lot of irons in the fire. rocket ships, electric cars, X, the company formerly known as Twitter, Solar. I mean, he's got a lot.
Batteries.
Well, now Neuralink, which is probably the most controversial of all of them, is a neurotechnology company that is working on brain-computer interfaces. It's received approval to conduct human trials. The R1 robot will be used to surgically place the N1 implant ultra-fine and flexible threads in a region of the brain that controls movement intention. In other words, I'm going to move my fingers. I'm going to move my feet. Once in place, the N1 implant is cosmetically invisible, is intended to record and transmit brain signals wirelessly to an app. So in other words, so I guess somebody could read your thoughts through the app. No, well, maybe your intentions. That decodes movement intention. Now, this is supposedly, you know, this will be for paralyzed people to control external devices with their thoughts. How about that? People who are paralyzed due to cervical spinal cord injury, etc., could be helped through this. They did not say when the study would start, but it did say it will take approximately 6 years to complete the study. Barry, does that qualify as a long-duration company there?
Certainly a long-duration play with it sounds like, with a lot of execution risk.
Boy, I'll say.
But, you know, I guess that's a, you know, I guess it's the technology version of telepathy, it sounds like. I mean,
kind of,
whatever,
yeah.
I forget what the old, you know, moving objects with your
now,
brain.
Israel,
now, does, but.
Israel has a company called Robo something Walk, Rewalk, which is actually a suit you put on, and it's a robotic suit. You know, once you've got it on, it will walk you, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So this is totally, obviously, different. This is external. This is non-invasive. This is not something you have. But it is. It's invasive in that it's implanted in your brain. So we'll follow this. I don't know if NVIDIA chips are involved, but we'll see about that. Hey, Intel yesterday, they're having their innovation event. And they made several announcements, and they unveiled a new AI chip. Well, should NVIDIA be worried? Well, after the news, Intel went down 3.5%. So I would say it didn't impress anybody too much. But Super Microcomputer said it would support and provide early access for the Xeon processors on its family of 13X servers. We've talked about SMCI a few times. But anyways, Intel now has a large AI chip, which will be built on Xeon processors, and the market just kind of went ho-hum. Okay, when we come back, A lot of strikes going on around the world. We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. I was just looking at, you know, it's always fun to see what the big firms are saying, just to compare it with, you know, what we're saying. Wells Fargo has a signature picks portfolio. Signature picks. How's it done? Well, it's basically tracked the S&P 500 since inception as of September 18th, 2 days ago. It was up 17.8% year-to-date, which has slightly outperformed the S&P 500. So it could be a lot worse. So what are they buying? What are they selling? They're selling Marriott. They're closing out that position. They're increasing their position in Disney, the 4.9%. That's a pretty heavy bet for a big firm. And, of course, Disney hit a new 52-week low yesterday after they announced all the money they're going to spend over the next several years at their park, $60 billion. They're also increasing their position in Next Era Energy, NEE. That's not a bad stock. It's kind of a hybrid, but it's been hitting new lows too recently. They're increasing their position in Boeing. Amazon's a 6% position. I agree with that one. And Yum Brands. I don't agree too much with that one. Okay, so here's some of their holdings. Disney. AutoZone. That's a good one. Amazon. Caesars. Entertainment. Yum Brands, Constellation Brands. There's no growth left in Constellation Brands. Schlumberger, yeah, that's a good one. Arch Capital, well, they agree with us on that one. We own it. Citigroup, one of the worst stocks you could own. Everest Group, J.P. Morgan, MasterCard, AbbVie, a non-growth drug company. Johnson & Johnson, well, there you go. I mean, you see, you get a taste for what you get from the Morgan Stanleys and the Merrill Lynches and the Wells Fargo of the world, a lot of big, well-known companies that the client is familiar with, like Johnson & Johnson. Never mind they haven't grown for years, but that's just kind of the state of our industry. Ford reaches a tentative labor deal with the Canadian unions to avoid a strike. Get this, this would have been the automaker's second strike in a week at this location in Canada.
Wow.
The workers want higher wages, improved pension benefits. This is a new demand. I've never heard of this coming in before. And they want support for workers during the transition to electric vehicles.
Yeah, and that's a big, you know, that's a big sticking point with the, you know, with the UAW in terms of, you know, there's talk that, you know, as you know, electric vehicles come online, you may need, you know, there's less, you know, some you know, less moving parts, you know, no, you know, engine parts, those types of things, and so. You could actually, you know, you will likely maybe need less workers. So
well,
that's been a big sticking point in the UAW in terms of what that transition looks like. My guess, the way I look at it is, I don't know if Ford and GM or the big autos know what that transition is really going to look like. So it's kind of hard to, it's hard to compensate.
Well, the horse and buggy. Yeah, the horse and buggy
right.
Operators were demanding the same thing when Henry Ford showed up with his engine. I don't know. You know, it's like they want protection against all risk out there in the world, you know. We want protection from climate change. We want protection from inflation. We want protection from the transition to electric cars. I wish I had that kind of protection. You know what? Look, we're at risk every single day, but I understand, you know, it's the union and they're looking out for their employees. In the meantime, down in Australia, Chevron's got problems with their LNG plant there, and the unions, they're far apart down there on any kind of agreement. And the latest one is Apple Store employees in France are set to strike right when the iPhone 15 is going to come out. So anyways, a lot of unrest. What is Stephen Stills song, singing songs and they're carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side, you know. Protest is in the air. Eli Lilly takes legal action against fake Mounjaro versions. You know, I don't know. It must not be too hard to whip up in the blender or something.
I don't know about it. I mean, I would imagine they don't. Someone taking it, they don't know it's fake. I mean,
well, certain medical spas and wellness centers and compounding pharmacies in Florida, Georgia, Arizona, Minnesota, Utah, Texas are selling unapproved versions of its diabetes therapy, Mounjaro. Lilly cannot validate the safety or effectiveness of products claiming to contain tirzepatide. Okay, so order up a tirzepatide cocktail at your local spa. The Indiana-based pharma giant said, referring to the active pharmaceutical ingredient of Mounjaro. Lilly filed this lawsuit to protect patients. CNN quoted the company as saying they are violating consumer protection laws. Well, it's a prescription drug, right? I mean, you can't just whip up a prescription drug. Well, the lawsuits come as the company struggles to meet the demand for the blockbuster therapy among ongoing shortages of Mounjaro. And, of course, Novo Nordisk has the same issue with Wegovy. Okay, we've been talking about how fossil fuels are in a lot of things. ExxonMobil is going to expand $2 billion their chemical complex in Texas. Okay, the chemical Elevex branded products are in automotive parts, construction materials, reusable containers, hygiene, and personal care products. Exxon will also produce 350,000 tons of olefins used in plastic packaging as well as engine and industrial oils. So let's not forget, I mean, the higher oil prices go, it shows up in a lot of different products. And the more you crack down on fossil fuels, you got to remember that. I remember back in the 60s or 70s when they figured out that vinyl records, you know, that we used to have, were a petroleum product, right? They were all up in arms and all, yeah.
Right, yeah. Probably protesters were, you know, folks who were against that back then. And then they're obviously spinning their records. And
yeah, they're listening to a petroleum product all day. Uber may be forced to hike prices by 40% if the EU. Now, the EU wants to declare all of these gig workers as employees, and then, of course, they can get benefits like, you know, inflation protection, climate change protection, a job guarantee for life. But anyways, this would shut down. They're going to shut down hundreds of cities. They're going to have another big protest. And, you know, eventually it's going to cost a whole lot more to hail an Uber in Belgium or Switzerland or wherever you are if this goes through. Now, California, I don't know where they ended up with it. Last I heard that their employees in California, the Lyft and Uber drivers, I could be wrong. They maybe appealed that.
What? I know they had, it was part of a vote. I think it was, one of the propositions, right? I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in California when they, last time, one of the last elections. And I thought it came in, on the non-employee side, but I think it was a very slim margin. I'll have to double check that.
Maybe.
But,
you could be right.
It's an issue that Uber and all of those are going to have regardless going forward.
Big time. Okay, EU car registrations jumped 21% in August, and I thought, how many more electric? Well, about one-fifth of the car sales, new car sales right now, in the EU are electric. That means 4 out of 5, okay, are still combustion engines. Dollar General, okay, that's the one that was hit with a bear call by J.P. Morgan due to financial stress. And a couple like Elf Beauty got hit yesterday and a couple others. And they're saying between, they're no longer getting the pandemic benefits, inflation, reduced government assistance, the ending of a child tax care credit, all hurting the lower-end consumer at places like Dollar General. Okay, we'll be right back. We'll look underneath the surface of the market. And welcome back here to the final segment. Boy, the time went fast today on today's Best Stocks Now show. It is Fed Day right at 2 p.m. We will find out. We think that the Fed is leaving interest rates alone this time around, but probably crack the door and leave it open a little bit, between now and the end of the year, just in case. One of the big worries has been oil prices all of a sudden pinching the consumer. But hopefully we've seen the top in oil for this year at that 92 level, which was pretty significant technical support. But oil is very hard to predict. I mean, it's mostly a supply-demand equation, which is beyond my pay grade. You've got people that's all they do is watch the oil markets and try to predict the price of oil going forward. Probably the best experts in the world are located in Saudi Arabia. They seem to have a pretty good handle on oil demand and oil supply, and they make the cuts necessary to keep the price high. I don't think they would have been cutting if they'd have seen a big fall in demand. So anyways, we'll see. I think we've seen the high for the year. But
on oil, I will say one thing, and to kind of reiterate what you've been saying is, do something interesting is just put over the price, Brent crude, use Brent or whichever oil measure you like, and put it over, copper on a chart, and copper's gone nowhere, and oil is going up, and like you said, and in terms of if there was a lot of industrial, if there's a lot of demand around the globe, usually right, copper's going to be moving up at the same time. So it's just seems to be at least some sort of disconnect there.
And almost every three-letter agency out there is predicting a slowing economy next year in 2024, global economy. So it's just hard to see oil maintaining this kind of a price level for very long. All right, well, if we look at the S&P 500 right now, or we look at the Dow, IBM's the big winner in the Dow. I think I saw somebody actually go out on a limb and upgrade IBM, kind of a non-mover for a long time. That's a pretty good chart on IBM. Maybe they've got an AI initiative going on. IBM is up 2.8%. IBM actually... they're back to like low single digit growth. They had falling growth over the last 5 years. Their earnings growth has averaged minus 12% per year. minus 12. At least they've kind of flatlined now in their earnings. They bottomed out in the year 2020, the COVID year, and they've been building back at about 5% per year. They pay a big fat dividend, IBM does, of a 4.4%. But it's just hard. You do the math. I mean, you do evaluation. Plug in 5% on their current earnings expectations. They've never gotten a glory kind of multiple. It's usually in the 13 to 15 area, and see what you come up with. It's hard to own that stock, even though it's bouncing today on 3 times normal volume. So I'm thinking one of the big guys must have come out with the buy recommendation. Amgen's up 1.9. There continues to be talk of a weight loss drug coming from Amgen. It's breaking out. That's a good move. That's another one that's very hard to make a case for, given that over the last 5 years, they've been growing their earnings by 4% per year. I mean, they'd have to come up with a blockbuster product to move that needle back up into the high single digits or double digits. But Amgen is up 1.9. Caterpillar's up 1.5. On the downside, Intel, after their AI news yesterday, is down 2.5% today. Not much excitement coming out of that. And there continues to be very little excitement coming out of the Apple camp since their big release on the 15. Apple is down 0.8%. At the S&P 500, it looks a little more promising. Western Digital's up 6.6%. That's a good breakout. I'm not quite sure. That's been a very, very unpredictable stock over the years. Coty, which is a beauty and cosmetic stock, is up 5.5% today. AutoZone, which reported earnings recently, is up 3.2%. IBM's in the S&P. It's a winner today. The fertilizer stocks have seen a little bit of life in them. CF Industries, that's not a bad-looking chart on CF Industries. It's up 2.7% today. On the downside, Dollar General. Man, that stock has just been hammered. That's one of the worst-looking charts in the entire market, DG Dollar General. And then looking at the NASDAQ, I doubt that the... You know, look, it's quiet today. Why? Because the Fed's going to speak with their big mouthpiece at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and then they're going to get into even more details at 2:30 as they take questions. And you're going to see the market flail all over the place. Starting at 2 o'clock, between 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock today, that right. Vibration you feel underneath you is the market flailing all over the place. So pretty quiet today, not much moving one way or another. Interest rates are down 3 basis points. Maybe we've seen the top after they hit. You got to go back to November of 2007 to see the 10-year at 4.36, which is what it hit yesterday. I'm saying that that's extended beyond the norm. It's going to snap back to something more, in the area where it's been snapped back to the mean. That's my guess, along with oil prices. That's my thesis. So we'll see. Tomorrow will be interesting. We'll have the results of today. And, of course, the market always kind of digests things. Tomorrow will be a volatile day, too.
Well, they get two free jobless claims tomorrow, and then if you hadn't had enough Fed talk, we'll have four Fed speakers, I believe, on Friday.
I can hardly wait. Well, I'll be writing the newsletter on Friday. I won't be listening to Fed talk, and we'll have the best information that I can possibly bring to you, which is what I garner and distill everything down. To a best idea or to a best market call, whatever the case may be. GundersonCapital.com for 2 free weeks of the newsletter. Or for just a chit-chat with us, give us a call at 855, set up an appointment, 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.